This is Ashley Hodge coming to you after Baylor's 68-56 win against Cincinnati in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. They've got Iowa State tomorrow night, which we know is always a very neutral environment in Kansas City. I'm joined by Ludwig von Misi on the message boards. Mark, thank you for doing this. You've done a couple of these with me. And what a night. I want to keep this kind of short because I do want to rewatch that first half of basketball. That was a beautiful half of basketball, and I want to make sure I have enough energy to stay up and rewatch that.
Dude, absolutely. I'm going to do the same thing. I was a little bit surprised when you texted and you said you wanted to preview the Texas Tech baseball series. But I mean, I think if Mason Marriott can give a sick, I'm kidding. Yeah, that first half was a rough watch for both teams.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati was throwing the ball all over the place, and that's kind of what kept us in it while we were, you know, got off to such a slow start and such a – but I thought we had decent energy in the first half, really.
Yeah.
Some mental mistakes, some sloppy play for sure.
Right.
And some awful shooting. But I thought we came out with energy, which is different from a few of our other slow starts.
Yeah, and we got to give a big shout out to Caleb Lohner. Caleb really came in and set the tone from a physicality standpoint in the first half. And I don't know if we end up winning by 12, so it's hard to say, but it might have been a nail biter if not for his efforts in the first half. I mean, he really gave us some good minutes and rebounded the ball well. I think he ends up with 5 points. That sounds right to me.
Yeah. 8 rebounds, I think. Yeah.
Oh wow, 8 rebounds. That's a good line. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we end up the rebounding was a total of I'm trying to read what Baylor puts out 39-28. I felt like we out rebounded them, so that's good. Points in the paint, 26-26. You'll take that. Cincinnati's a really physical team, and they play a version of bully ball. You know, they end up Baylor's only 5-for-19 from three. Cincinnati's 5-for-22. I mean, the big stat of the night is Baylor gets to the free throw line 22 times and makes 19 of them, and Cincinnati only gets there 9 times and makes 7. So you have plus 12 at the free throw line, and that's the difference in the game. You know, the Bears end up winning by 12. It was 26-24 at the halftime. Baylor outscores Cincinnati 44-30 in the second half. You know, not a beautiful basketball game, but I love the fact that the Bears, took advantage of, Cincinnati's, tired legs a little bit. And I thought their defensive pressure was good. They did a good job of, just taking away clean looks, making them work hard for anything. I'll be curious to see what the KenPom stats are. I think they'll be pretty good as far as defensive efficiency.
Yep, definitely. And every time I hear you say that a team plays hard or they're a really physical team, I always think back to your Rick Barnes, Dean Smith story.
we can retell that story. A lot of people probably haven't heard it on this pod.
That word's kind of coded for,
dirty. Yeah.
Like they're grabbing and they're
so the G-rated version of that story is I think the ACC commissioner calls Rick Barnes and Dean Smith to his house because there's been some pretty elevated tensions in the Clemson North Carolina series, and North Carolina dominates the series. North Carolina was the better team, but Clemson was kind of the Cincinnati of that league at the time, just really blue collar, very physical, tough. And, if you didn't bring it, they're going to beat you. Well, so, they ask both those coaches, to lay the axe down and, say something nice about each other. So Rick Barnes says, well, I'll start. Dean, I really like the way you run your program. You're a legend, one of the best coaches ever. Your teams always play with class. You just run beautiful offense. You just play basketball the right way. And then Dean Smith says, I just love how hard you guys play, and it's just amazing that you like foul every blankety blank time and, you know, never get called for it. He just kind of took it to another level. And Rick Barnes is like, what? You know, so yeah, that kind of is. There's a lot of teams in the Big 12 like that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the NCAA tournament because, I mean, I felt like that Houston TCU game was just a brawl. I felt like Iowa State, Kansas State was a brawl. There was parts of the game tonight that was a brawl. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so physical, and the refs just let so much go. I just wonder if it's going to be a tighter whistle in the NCAA tournament and if teams like that rely on that physicality, like Houston and Iowa State, you know, if they're going to advance, you know, to the Final Four. It's a big question mark.
Yeah, and I wonder if
– and you'll be heartbroken if they don't get there, right? I mean, you're always a go Big 12 guy.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing I love more than rooting for our conference mates. I mean, I go Big 12 all the way. I wonder if that physicality, you know, I was looking back at the game logs, you know, because Jacoby's got his year-long shooting percentage. And I look back, and he's like 41% from three in non-conference.
Right.
And that wasn't padded by, you know, the
Mississippi Valley States of the world.
Right. That I think he actually had a bad game against Mississippi Valley State. Like he had great games against Auburn and Florida and was really efficient from three. Michigan State, even I think pretty much all of our like marquee non-conference games.
Right.
And then for his last six games, I think he's over 40%. So I just wonder if there was just such an adjustment period at the beginning of Big 12 play.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to get open and he's having to, you know, fight through screens and just the physicality just kind of took a toll on him and just kind of shocked him. Because I just look at his game logs and it doesn't look like, you know, his stats should say what they do.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's too much critique of him, I think. You know, I mean, he does so many things that help. Does he make mistakes? Yes. So does Eve Missy. And so does, you know, Josh, and so does Miro. You know, they're young, and they're going to make mistakes on the court. So do our seniors. You know, Ray J. Dennis had a first half to forget. He was really good in the second half. I think he was scoreless in the first half, wasn't he? Oh, he had two free throws?
Yeah.
Maybe two free throws.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he had two free throws, but then I think he, or maybe four. I can't remember either. But he ends up with 13 points and six assists, five turnovers. I think he had four of those turnovers in the first half. But the point is that, you know, Jacoby does. You know, he rebounds well. Six rebounds again tonight. He draws fouls on screens. I mean, he got two of those again tonight. Like, he's a master at that, you know, getting the runover fouls. You know, he hustles, he plays hard, he hit the three dagger, you know, really important threes, you know, that help Baylor extend that lead. So I think he gets too much criticism. I mean, it's like, come on, man, he's a freshman and he's performing against great competition and he's performing really well.
Yeah, I agree. He's got, you know, some limitations and, you know, certain areas of the game that just, you know, are not his forte.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he's a good shooter who went through a horrific slump.
Yep.
And he's, you nailed it for me. Like, he's been so important on the glass lately.
Yeah.
And he's not the only guard. I mean, we've really had some guards step up. And get a lot of key rebounds.
Yeah, it was really surprising that Baylor got out-rebounded by Texas Tech. You know, I think they were on a trend of really crushing teams on the glass, and they continued that trend against Cincinnati with plus 10 in the rebounding category. But, you know, that was, I think, a big reason why they lost against Tech is they just got manhandled on the glass a little bit. I got to give, you know, Grant some credit. He's got that team playing pretty well. It'll be interesting to see what they do against Houston. I would imagine Houston will win that by double digits, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that interesting, but, you know, in theory,
so
it'll be interesting.
Ken Pom has Iowa State 71, Baylor 70. That's the early prognostication for the game tomorrow. How do you see that matchup?
Well, I mean, we've got good history against Iowa State and Tennessee. Like
we just, you know, every time they roll the balls out, it seems like we show up and play really well against those guys.
Well, at least every time DeMarcus Minor and Terry Black are there. I mean, we, you know, 2001, I mean, we're reign of terror.
Yeah. Shout out to Wendell Granleaf. Yep.
Yeah.
Was he on that team?
I think
maybe.
I don't think my parents let me stay home from school to watch that game. It was at like 12 o'clock on a Thursday. But
I was there live. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was it. I think that was at the Kemper Arena, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was before they built the
Sprint Center. Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And I just remember like being a little pessimistic about it. I only bought a ticket. Wow. I only bought a ticket for that game because Iowa State was the one seed and they had won the conference.
That was the year after Marcus Fizer, I think, right?
That sounds right. I remember Jamal Tinsley. Jamal Tinsley
was
there.
And Jake Sullivan, maybe.
Yeah, sounds right. But then I just remember DeMarcus Minor. They just couldn't keep him from getting to the rim. I mean, he just like dominated that game down the stretch and. You know, there was these Iowa State fans nearby me, and they were saying, hey, man, I'm not saying we're going to win. This was before the game. I'm not saying we're going to win, but just in case we do, would you have extra tickets for tomorrow's game? You know, they're trying to be real funny. And so, you know, as DeMarcus Minor extended the lead to like 11, I stood up and said, hey, anybody have a ticket for tomorrow? And, you know, that was a great moment in my Baylor sports fandom. Yeah, I hope we can book in that. I think that was our first time playing Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, and hopefully tomorrow will be another win because I think there's been five or six losses in between.
Yeah, I don't know about five or six, but
might be more. You're saying?
No, I mean it's been at least three. I mean I know the Mekhi Mason year we lost to Iowa State.
Well, we lost last year. Bridges went crazy.
We lost in the title game one year.
We lost in the title game. Yeah. All right, now you got me curious. I got to go look this up.
Yeah, I don't think it's been five or six, but we've definitely. I mean, we haven't been. Let's be real. We haven't been good against anyone in the tournament in recent years.
True.
I mean, the tournament's been unmitigated disaster. I kind of reject this idea that people keep, you know, floating on the message board that Scott Drew didn't care about the tournament.
It's crazy.
It's like, no, we've just been playing bad.
Right.
Like we've just got the wrong matchup at the wrong time, or we played a bad game, or we came in injured, or, you know, for whatever reason. All these coaches, I mean, I've been watching these games this week, and this idea that any coach doesn't care about the conference tournament, the coaches and players care. I know a lot of fans don't. They think it's kind of dumb and, you know, you need to rest guys for the tournament. But watching these games, I think I've seen multiple guys go down with injuries and come back into games.
Right.
KJ Adams, I think, for Kansas. Emmanuel Miller for TCU. I mean, TCU was down 15, and Miller goes down with the, like, seemingly bad ankle injury and then comes back in. And right. It's like, yeah, these guys, like, they do care. Like, yeah, I don't think it's been any kind of, you know, like, we're not, you know, geared up to play in the tournament or anything like that. It's just been a bad run of games.
Yeah.
Haven't played well.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think, I mean, there's been reasons like we've been banged up at this time of year. I mean, that's why I was optimistic about this run in Kansas City. I'm like, man, we really need it to get Langston back in the groove. And then we get the kind of the, you know, defeating news before tip that he's not playing. Hopefully it's, precautionary, but you got to wonder. I mean, that's, you know, hopefully in practice. I haven't heard word on what's going on, but it seems like he might have tweaked it again in practice. I mean, that's my guess, but
yeah, I mean, and he really looked pretty good, at least in my view. He was one of our
against
better
Tech
players.
Yeah,
against Texas Tech. I mean, he was moving around well,
right?
He was kind of you know, finishing through contact like he always does. He just
Right.
kind of looks like, I don't know if he hit many jumpers, but I mean, he looks like his old self, you know, getting to the basket and finishing at the rim through contact. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge disappointment, and it's just been a bummer what's been going on with Langston for, you know, his freshman year with the ACL, and then last year he's got the weird eye thing at the end of the year,
right?
And then the last few weeks when he was playing so good in conference, you know, being out in and out of the lineup, mostly out with the ankle issues, just been a really rough deal.
Yeah, it has been. I hopefully he gets healed up, because we could use him, especially as we get into that, you know, second game of the NCAA tournament, which, I mean, you don't want to assume a win in the first round, you know, but if you get start playing teams in the round of 32 and in the Sweet 16, you're going to have some tough matchups, and you'd love to be at full strength. So, you know, we'll see what this is all about. But, I mean, more than anything, you need him playing with your guys to develop that chemistry again. And just kind of disappointing that he couldn't go tonight, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow Iowa State will have another opportunity. You know, Marquette, I think, ended up winning against Villanova in overtime. But Creighton lost, and Duke lost to NC State. Creighton lost to Providence. So the road is really opening up for Baylor to get a two seed if, you know, I mean, if you beat Iowa State, that's one of the other teams you're competing with for a two seed, then, I mean, you have a really good chance to get on that two line. So hopefully the Bears can get it done. That would be an amazing win.
Yeah, it would be kind of a little bit of a change. You know, we've done the three seed thing. I think we've been a three seed four or five times.
Right.
You know, with kind of mixed results.
Yep.
You know, it was great for us in 2010 and 2012. And you kind of play the same types of teams for the most part. Easier right. First round game. But, you know, we haven't been a two seed. Let's change it up.
Yeah.
You know, and,
that's right.
And every notch up on a seed to me is another, you know, boost on Scott Drew's resume,
yeah,
in my opinion.
For sure.
I mean, that's one of the ways I evaluate coaches always is what seeds they earn. And so, I mean, a three seed's really good. I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, well, you know, the committee says at the end of the year, we're one of the 12 best teams in the country. And when you get a two seed, you go, the committee said we're one of the best eight teams in the country. And every one you go up is even more of an accomplishment. So I kind of wish, you know, I saw someone float the idea of, after they canceled the tournament in 2020, of announcing the bracket anyways.
Yeah.
Just to say
we were one seed. Yeah.
The players earned the seed.
Right.
And I thought that was a great idea, because I was like, you're robbing them of, you're 2 days away from Selection Sunday, or
right.
3 days away, and they don't even, you know, get to feel the accomplishment. I mean, everyone knows we would have been a one seed, but
yeah.
You know, that kind of, I love that idea, whoever floated that out there, but.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we run down the scoring. Jaden Nunn had 9, Jacoby Walter 11, Ray J 13, Jalen Bridges had a good second half. I think Jalen might have been 0-for in the first half. He had 12, made all of his free throws. Eve with 12, and then Josh had 6. Josh did have the 3 turnovers, but he did some good things. That steal and dunk was awesome. Then Caleb, as you mentioned, officially 7 rebounds in the stat sheet within the 5 points. So some pretty good minutes from Caleb. Ray J, plus and minus 16. Caleb was 9, and that was all in the mostly in the first half. He played a little bit in the second half. But anyway, good stuff. I mean, it was a good, gritty win against a tough-minded team. And they'll have another one tomorrow, and then obviously if they win that game, they'll probably play Houston in the final. So you talk about playing 3 really physical wars, you know, that's what you have in store for you. So the Baylor will get tested, but not to assume an Iowa State win, because it's going to be a road environment for the Bears tomorrow night. But hopefully they can get it done, and it would be an amazing feat to, you know, to win one at Kansas City against a team that's and fan base that definitely shows out in full force you know, for that venue.
Absolutely. We're due for a run. I mean, we're just due.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
I agree with you. All right, well, we'll put a wrap on it. You've been listening to a Sic'em 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Mark Reeser. Sic'em Bears.
Sic'em.